Fetch forth the stocks, you stubborn ancient knave, you reverent braggart. We'll teach you.
Sir, I am too old to learn. Call not your stocks for me. I serve the king, on whose employment I was sent to you. You shall do small respect, show too bold malice against the grace and person of my master, stocking his messenger.
Fetch forth the stocks. As I have life and honour, there shall he sit till noon.
Till noon? Till night, my lord, and all night too.
Why, madam, if I were your father's dog, you should not use me so.
Sir, being his knave, I will.
This is a fellow of the selfsame colour our sister speaks of. Come, bring away the stocks.
Let me beseech your grace not to do so. His fault is much, and the good king, his master, will check him for it. Your proposed low correction is such as basest and contemnest wretches for pilferings and most common trespasses are punished with. The king, his master, needs must take it ill that he, so slightly valued in his messenger, should have him thus restrained.
I'll answer that.
My sister may receive it much more worse, to have her gentleman abused, assaulted for following her affairs. Put in his legs.
Come, my lord, away.
I am sorry for thee, friend. 'Tis the Duke's pleasure, whose disposition all the world well knows will not be rubbed nor stopped. I'll entreat for thee.
Pray do not, sir. I have watched and travelled hard. Sometime I shall sleep out, the rest I'll whistle. A good man's fortune may grow out at heels. Give you a good morrow.
The Duke's to blame in this. 'Twill be ill taken.
Good king, that must approve the common saw, thou out of heaven's benediction com'st to the warm sun. Approach, thou beacon, to this underglobe, that by thy comfortable beams I may peruse this letter. Nothing almost sees miracles but misery. I notice from Cordelia, who hath most fortunately been informed of my obscured course, and shall find time from this enormous state seeking to give losses their remedies. All weary and o'erwatched. Take vantage, heavy eyes, not to behold this shameful lodging. Fortune, good night. Smile once more. Turn thy wheel.
I heard myself proclaimed, and by the happy hollow of a tree escaped the hunt. No port is free, no place that guard and most unusual vigilance does not attend my taking. Whilst I may escape, I will preserve myself, and am bethought to take the basest and most poorest shape that ever penury in contempt of man brought near to beast. My face I'll grime with filth, blanket my loins, elfle my hairs in knots, and with presented nakedness outface the winds and persecutions of the sky. The country gives me proof and precedent of bedlam beggars, who with roaring voices strike in their numbed and mortified bare arms pins, wooden pricks, nails, sprigs of rosemary, and with this horrible object from low farms, poor pelting villages, sheepcuts and mills, sometimes with lunatic bands, sometimes with prayers, enforce their charity. Poor Turlygod! Poor Tom! That's something yet. Edgar, I nothing am.
Strange that they should so depart from home and not send back my messenger.
As I learned the night before, there was no purpose in them of this remove.
Hail to thee, noble master.
Ah! Makest thou this shame thy pastime?
No, my lord.
He wears cruel garters. Horses are tied by the heads, dogs and bears by the neck, monkeys by the loins, and men by the legs. When a man's all lusty at legs, then he wears wooden nether stocks.
What's he that hath so much thy place mistook to set thee here?
It is both he and she, your son and daughter.
No.
Yes.
No, I say.
I say yea.
No, no, they would not.
Yes, they have.
By Jupiter, I swear no.
By Juno, I swear aye.
They durst not do it. They could not, would not do it. 'Tis worse than murder to do upon respect such violent outrage. Resolve me, with all modest haste, which way thou mightst deserve, or they impose this usage, coming from us.
My lord, when at their home, I did commend your highness' letters to them. Ere I was risen from the place that showed my duty kneeling, came there a reeking post, stewed in his haste, half breathless, panting forth from Goneril's mistress salutations. Delivered letters, spite of intermission, which presently they read. On whose contents they summoned up their meanie, straight took horse, commanded me to follow and attend the leisure of their answer, gave me cold looks, and meeting here the other messenger, whose welcome I perceived had poisoned mine, being the very fellow which of late displayed so saucily against your highness, having more man than wit about me, drew. He raised the house with loud and coward cries. Your son and daughter found this trespass worth the shame which here it suffers.
Winter's not gone yet, if the wild geese fly that way. Fathers that wear rags do make their children blind, but fathers that bear bags shall see their children kind. Fortune, that arrant whore, ne'er turns the key to the poor. But for all this, thou shalt have as many dollars for thy daughters as thou canst tell in a year.
Oh, this mother swells up toward my heart. Hysterical passio down, thou climbing sorrow. My elements below. Where is this daughter?
With the earl, sir, here within.
Follow me not. Stay here.
Made you no more offence but what you speak of?
None. How chance the king comes with so small a number?
Thou hast been set at the stocks for that question. Thou's well deserved it.
Why for?
We'll set thee to school to an ant, to teach thee there's no labouring of the winter. Mm. All that follow their noses are led by their eyes but blind men, and there's not a nose among 20 but can smell him that's stinking. Let go thy hold when a great wheel runs down a hill, lest it break thy neck with following. But the great one that goes upward, let him draw thee after. When a wise man gives thee better counsel, give me mine again. I would have none but knaves follow it, since a fool gives it. That, sir, which serves and seeks for gain and follows but for form, will pack when it begins to rain and leave thee in the storm. But I will tarry, the fool will stay, and let the wise man fly. The knave turns fool that runs away, the fool no knave, per die.
Where learned you this, fool?
Not at the stocks, fool.
Deny to speak with me. They are sick, they are weary. They have travelled all the night, mere fetches. The images of revolt and flying off. Fetch me a better answer.
My dear lord, you know the fiery quality of the duke, how unremovable and fixed he is in his own course.
Vengeance, plague, death, confusion, fiery, what quality? Why, Gloucester, Gloucester, I'd speak with the Duke of Cornwall and his wife.
Well, my good lord, I have informed them so.
Informed them? Dost thou understand me, man?
Aye, my good lord.
The king would speak with Cornwall. The dear father would with his daughter speak. Commands, tends service. Are they informed of this? My breath and blood fiery. The fiery duke tell the hot duke. No. But not yet. Maybe he is not well. Infirmity doth still neglect all office whereto our Health is bound. We are not ourselves when nature, being oppressed, commands the mind to suffer with the body I'll forbear. And am fallen out with my more headier will to take the indisposed and sickly fit for the sound man. Death on my state. Wherefore should he sit here? This act persuades me that this remotion of the Duke and her is practice only. Give me my seven forth. Go, tell the Duke and his wife I'll speak with them. Now, presently, bid them come forth and hear me, or at their chamber door I'll beat the drum till it cries sleep to death.
I would have all well betwixt you.
Oh, me, my heart. My rising heart put down.
Cry to it, Nuncle, as the cock needed to the eels when she put him in the paste alive. She napped him at the cockscombs with a stick and cried, down, wantons, down! 'Twas her brother that, in pure kindness to his horse, buttered his hay.
Good morrow to you both.
Hail to your grace.
I'm glad to see your highness.
Regan, I think you are. I know what reason I have to think so. If thou shouldst not be glad, I would divorce me from thy mother's tomb, sepulchring an adulteress.
My lord.
Oh. Are you free? Some other time for that. Beloved Regan, thy sister's naught. Oh, Regan, she hath tied sharp-toothed unkindness like a vulture here. I can scarce speak to thee. Thou'lt not believe with how depraved a quality... Oh, Regan.
I pray you, sir, take patience. I have hope you less know how to value her desert than she to scant her duty.
Say, how is that?
I cannot think my sister in the least would fail her obligation. If, sir, perchance, she have restrained the riots of your followers, 'tis on such ground and to such wholesome end as clears her from all blame.
My curse is on her!
Oh, sir, you are old. Nature in you stands on the very verge of his confine. You should be ruled and led by some discretion that discerns your state better than you yourself. Therefore, I pray you that to our sister you do make return. Say you have wronged her.
Ask her forgiveness. Do you but mark how this becomes the house? Dear daughter, I confess that I am old. Age is unnecessary on my knees. I beg that you'll vouchsafe me raiment, bed, and food.
Good sir, no more. These are unsightly tricks. Return you to my sister.
Never, Regan. She hath abated me of half my train, looked black upon me, struck me with her tongue most serpent-like upon the very heart. All the stored vengeances of heaven fall on her ingrateful top. Strike her young bones, you taking airs with lameness.
Fight, sir, fight!
You nimble lightnings dart your blinding flames into her scornful eyes. Infect her beauty, you fence-sucked fogs, drawn by the powerful sun to fall and blister.
Oh, the blessed God, so will you wish on me when the rash mood is on.
No. Regan, thou shalt never have my curse. Thy tender-hefted nature shall not give thee o'er to harshness. Her eyes are fierce, but thine do comfort and not burn. 'Tis not in thee to grudge my pleasures, to cut off my train, to bandy hasty words, to scant my sizes, and in conclusion to oppose the bolt against my coming in. Thou better knowest the offices of nature, bond of childhood, effects of courtesy, dues of gratitude. Thy half of the kingdom hast thou not forgot, wherein I thee endowed.
Good sir, to the purpose.
Who put my man i' the stocks?
What trumpet's that?
I know it, my sister's. This approves her letter that she would soon be here. Is your lady come?
Aye, madam.
This is a slave whose easy borrowed pride dwells in the fickle grace of her he follows. Out, varlet, from thy sight.
What means your grace?
Who stocked my servant? Regan, I have good hope thou didst not know it. Who comes here? Oh, heavens, if you do love, O men, if your sweet sway allow obedience, if you yourselves are old, make it your course. Send down and take my part. Art not ashamed to look upon this beard? Oh, Regan, will you take her by the hand?
Why not by the hand, sir? How have I offended? All's not offence that indiscretion finds and dotage terms so.
Oh, sides, you are too tough. Will you yet hold? How came my man in the stocks?
I set him there, sir. But his own disorders deserved much less advancement.
You? Did you?
I pray you, father, being weak seems so. If till the expiration of your month you will return and sojourn with my sister, dismissing half your train, come then to me. I am now from home, and out of that provision which shall be needful for your entertainment.
Return to her, and 50 men dismissed? No, rather I'd abjure all roofs and choose to wage against the enmity of the air, to be a comrade with the wolf and owl, necessity's sharp pinch. Return with her? Well, the hot-blooded France that dowerless took our youngest born, I could as well be brought to knee his throne, and squire-like pension beg to keep base life afoot. Return with her? Persuade me rather to be slave and sumpter to this detested groom.
At your choice, sir.
I prithee, daughter, do not make me mad. I will not trouble thee, my child. Farewell. We'll no more meet, no more see one another. But yet thou art my flesh, my blood, my daughter, or rather, the disease that's in my flesh, which I must needs call mine at a boil, a plague sore or embossed carbuncle in my corrupted blood. But I'll not chide thee. Let shame come when it will, I do not call it. I do not bid the thunder-bearer shoot, nor tell tales of thee to high-judging Jove. Mend when thou canst. Be better at thy leisure. I can be patient, I can stay with Regan. I and my 100 knights.
Not altogether so. I looked not for you yet, nor am provided for your fit welcome. Give ear, sir, to my sister. For those that mingle reason with your passion must be content to think you old. And so. But she knows what she does.
Is this well spoken?
I dare avouch it, sir. What, 50 followers? Is it not well? What should you need of more? Yea, or so many? Sith that both charge and danger speak against so great a number, how in one house should many people under two commands hold amity? 'Tis hard. Almost impossible.
Why might not you, my lord, receive attendance from those that she calls servants, or from mine?
Why not, my lord? If then they chance to slack ye, we could control them. If you will come to me, for now I spy a danger, I entreat you to bring but 25. To no more will I give place or notice.
I gave you all.
And in good time you gave it.
Made you my guardians, my depositories, but kept a reservation to be followed with such a number. What must I come to you with 25? Regan said you so.
And speaked again, my lord. No more with me.
Those wicked creatures yet do look well favoured when others are more wicked. Not being the worst stands in some rank of praise. I'll go with thee. Thy 50 yet doth double 25, and thou art twice her love.
Hear me, my lord. What need you 25, 10, or 5 to follow in a house where twice so many have a command to tend you?
What need one?
Oh, reason not the need. Our basest beggars are in the poorest things superfluous. Allow not nature more than nature needs. Man's life is cheap as beasts. Thou art a lady, if only to go warm were gorgeous. Why, nature needs not what thou gorgeous wearest, which scarcely keeps thee warm. But for true need, you heavens, give me that patience I need. You see me here, you gods, a poor old man as full of grief as age, wretched in both. If it be you that stirs these daughters' hearts against their father, fool me not so much to bear it tamely. Touch me with noble anger, and let not women's weapons, water drops, stain my man's cheeks. No, you unnatural hags, I will have such revenges on you both that all the world shall... I will do such things, what they are, yet I know not, but they shall be the terrors of the earth. You think I'll weep? No, I'll not weep. I have full cause of weeping. But this heart shall break into 100,000 floors, or ere I'll weep. Oh, fool, I shall go mad.
Let us withdraw. It will be a storm.
This house is little. The old man and his people cannot be well bestowed.
'Tis his own blame. Hath put himself from rest and must needs taste his folly.
For his particular, I'll receive him gladly. But not one follower.
So am I purposed. Where is my Lord of Gloucester?
Follow the old man forth. He has returned.
The king is in high rage.
Whither is he going?
He calls to horse, but will I know not whither.
It is best to give him way. He leads himself.
My lord, entreat him by no means to stay.
Alack, the night comes on, and the high winds do sorely ruffle. For many miles about there's scarce a bush.
Oh, sir, to willful men. The injuries that they themselves procure must be their schoolmasters. Shut up your doors. He is attended with a desperate train. And what they may incense him to, being apt to have his ear abused, wisdom bids fear.
Shut up your doors, my lord. It is a wild night. My Regan counsels well. Come out of the storm.
Who's there, besides foul weather?
Unminded like the weather, most unquietly.
I know you. Where's the king?
Contending with the fretful elements. Bids the wind blow the earth into the sea, or swell the curled waters above the main, that things might change or cease. Tears his white hair, which the impetuous blasts with eyeless rage catch in their fury and make nothing of. Strives in his little world of man to outscorn the to and fro conflicting wind and rain. This night, in the cub-drawn bear would couch. The lion and the belly-pinched wolf keep their fur dry. Unbonneted he runs and bids what will take all.
But who is with him?
None but the fool, who labours to outjest his heart-struck injuries.
Sir, I do know you, and dare upon the warrant of my note commend a dear thing to you. There is division, although as yet the face of it is covered with mutual cunning, twixt Albany and Cornwall, who have... as who have not, that their great stars throned and set high, servants, who seem no less, which are to France the spies and speculations intelligent of our state. What hath been seen, either in snuffs and packings of the dukes, or the hard rain which both of them have borne against the old kind king, or something deeper, whereof perchance these are but furnishings. But true it is, from France there comes a power into this scattered kingdom, who already wise in our negligence have secret feet in some of our best ports, and are at point to show their open banner. Now to you. If on my credit you dare build so far to make your speed to Dover, you shall find some that will thank you, making just report of how unnatural and bemadding sorrow the king hath cause to play in. I am a gentleman of blood and breeding, and from some knowledge and assurance offer this office to you.
I will talk further with you.
No, do not. For confirmation that I am much more than my outwall, open this purse and take what it contains. If you shall see Cordelia, as fear not but you shall, show her this ring, and she will tell you who that fellow is that yet you do not know. Fie on this storm. I will go seek the king.
Give me your hand. Have you no more to say?
Few words, but to effect more than all yet. That when we have found the king, in which you're paying that way, I'll this... he that first lights on him, holler the other.
hands and crack your cheeks. Rage blow, you cataracts and hurricanoes. Spout till you have drenched our steeples, drowned the cocks. You sulphurous and thought-executing fires, vaunt couriers of oak-cleaving thunderbolts, singe my white head. And thou, all shaking thunder, strike flat the thick rotundity of the world. Crack nature's moulds, all germains spill at once, that makes ingrateful man.
Oh, Nuncle, court holy water in a dry house is better than this rainwater out of door. Good Nuncle, in, ask thy daughter's blessing. Here's a knight pities neither wise men nor fools.
Rumble, thy bellyful, spitfire spout rain, nor rain, wind, thunder, fire are my daughters. I tax not you, you elements, with unkindness. I never gave you kingdom, called you children. You owe me no subscription. Then let fall your horrible pleasure. Here I stand, your slave, a poor, infirm, weak, and despised old man. But yet, I call you servile ministers that will, with two pernicious daughters, join your high-engendered battles against a head so old and white as this. Oh, tis foul.
He that has a house to put head in has a good headpiece. The codpiece that will house before the head has any, the head and he shall louse, so beggars marry many. The man that makes his toe what he his heart should make shall up a corn cry woe and turn his sleep to wake. For there was never yet fair woman, but she made mouths in a glass.
No! I will be the pattern of all patience. I will say nothing.
Who's there? Marry, here's Grace and a codpiece. That's a wise man and a fool.
Alas, sir, are you here? Things that love night love not such nights as these. The wrathful skies gallow the very wanderers of the dark and make them keep their caves. Since I was man, such sheets of fire, such bursts of horrid thunders, such groans of roaring wind and rain, I never remember to have heard. Man's nature cannot carry the affliction of the fear.
Let the great gods that keep this dreadful pudder o'er our heads find out their enemies now. Tremble, thou wretch that hast within thee undivulged crimes and wept of justice. Hide thee, thou bloody hand, thou perjured and thou simular of virtue, that art incestuous. Caitiff, to pieces shake, that under covert and convenient seeming has practiced on man's life. Close, pent-up guilts, rive your concealing continence and cry these dreadful summoners grace. I am a man, more sinned against than sinning.
Alack, bareheaded! Gracious, my lord, by here is a hovel. Some friendship will it lend you against the tempest. Repose you there, while I to this hard house, more harder than the stones whereof 'tis raised, which even but now, demanding after you, denied me to come in, return and force this scanted courtesy.
My wits begin to turn. Come on, my boy. How does my boy art cold? I am cold myself. Where is the straw, my fellow? The art of our necessities is strange and can make vile things precious. Come, your hovel, poor fool and knave. I have one part in my heart that's sorry yet for thee.
He that has and a little tiny wit with hey, oh, the wind and the rain must make content with his fortunes fit. Though the rain it raineth every day.
True boy, come, bring us to this hovel.
This is a brave knight to cool a courtesan. I'll speak a prophecy ere I go. When priests are more in word than matter, when brewers mar their malt with water, when nobles are their tailors' tutors, no heretics burned, but wenches suitors, When every case in law is right, no squire in debt, nor no poor knight. When slanders do not live in tongues, nor cutpurses come not to throngs. When usurers tell their gold of the field, and bawds and whores do churches build, then shall the realm of Albion come to great confusion. Then comes the time, who lives deceit, that going shall be used with feet. This prophecy Merlin shall make, for I live before his time.
Alack, Edmund, I like not this unnatural dealing. When I desired their leave that I might pity him, they took from me the use of mine own house, charge me on pain of perpetual displeasure neither to speak of him, entreat for him, or any way sustain him.
Most savage and unnatural.
Go to, say you nothing. There is division between the dukes and a worse matter than that. I have received a letter this night. It is dangerous to be spoken. I have locked the letter in my closet. These injuries the king now bears will be revenged home. There is part of a power already footed. We must incline to the king. I will look him and privily relieve him. Go you and maintain talk with the duke, that my charity be not of him perceived. If he ask for me, I am ill and gone to bed. If I die for it, as no less is threatened me, the king, my old master, must be relieved. There is strange things toward, Edmund. Pray you, be careful.
This courtesy forbid thee shall the duke instantly know, and of that latter too. This seems a fair deserving, and must draw me that which my father loses no less than all. The younger rises when the old doth fall.
Place, my lord. Could my lord enter? The tyranny of the open night's too rough for nature to endure.
Let me alone.
Could my lord enter here?
Wilt break my heart?
I had rather break mine own. Good my lord, enter.
Thou think'st as much that this contentious storm invades us to the skin. So 'tis to thee. But where the greater malady is fixed, the lesser is scarce felt. Thou'lt shun a bear, but if thy flight lay toward the roaring sea, thou'lt meet the bear in the mouth. Mind's free, the body's delicate. The tempest in my mind doth from my senses take all feeling else, save what beats there, filial ingratitude. Is it not as this mouth should tear this hand for lifting food to it? But I will punish her now. I will weep no more in such a night to shut me out. Pour on. I will endure in such a night as this. Oh, Regan, Goneril, your old kind father, whose frank heart gave all. Oh, that way madness lies. Let me shun that no more of that.
Good my lord, enter here.
Prithee, go in thyself. Seek thine own ease. This tempest will not give me leave to ponder on things would hurt me more. But I'll go in, boy. Go first. Oh, you houseless poverty. Nay, get thee in. I'll pray and then I'll sleep. Poor naked wretches, wheresoe'er you are that bide the pelting of this pitiless storm, how shall your houseless heads and unfed sides, your looped and windowed raggedness, defend you from seasons such as these? Oh, I have taken too little care of this. Take physic, pump. Expose thyself to feel what wretches feel, that thou mayst shake the superflux to them and show the heavens more just.
Father Benhart!
Oh, come not in here, Nuncle. Here's a spirit. Help me.
Give me thy hand. Who's there?
A spirit. He says his name's poor Tom.
Now thou dost grumble there in the straw. Come forth.
Away! The foul fiend follows me. Through the sharp hawthorn blow the winds. Go to thy bed and warm thee.
Didst thou give all to thy daughters, and art thou come to this?
Who gives anything to poor Tom, whom the foul fiend hath led through fire and through flame, through ford and whirlpool, o'er bog and quagmire, that hath laid knives under his pillow, and halters in his pew, set ratsbane by his porridge, made him proud of heart to ride on a bay-trotting horse over four-inched bridges, to course his own shadow for a traitor?
Tom's cold. Oh, Dodie, Dodie, Dodie.
Bless thee from whirlwinds, star blasting and taking.
Do poor Tom some charity, whom the foul fiend vexes.
There, could I have him now? And there! Oh. And there again! And there!
As his daughters brought him to this pass, couldst thou save nothing? Wouldst thou give him all?
Nay, he reserved a blanket. Here's we been all shamed.
Now all the plagues that in the pendulous air hang fated o'er men's faults light on thy daughters.
He hath no daughters, sir.
Death, traitor! Nothing could have subdued nature to such a lowness but his unkind daughters. Is it the fashion that discarded fathers should have thus little mercy on their flesh? Judicious punishment, 'twas this flesh begot those pelican daughters.
Pennycock, saddle pennycock, hell! Hello, hello, Lulu!
This cold night will turn us all to fools and madmen.
Take heed of the foul fiend.
Obey thy parents. Keep thy words, justice.
Swear not, commit not with man's sworn spouse. Set not thy sweet heart on proud array. The Tom's a cold.
What hast thou been?
A serving man. Proud in heart and mind. That curled my hair, wore gloves in my cap. Served the lust of my mistress' heart. And did the act of darkness with her. Swore as many oaths as I spake words. And broke them in the sweet face of heaven. One that slept in the contriving of lust and waked to do it. Wine loved I deeply, dice dearly, and in woman out paramoured the Turk. False of heart, light of ear, bloody of hand. Hog in sloth, fox in stealth, wolf in greediness, dog in madness, lion in prey. Let not the creaking of shoes nor a rustling of silks betray thy poor heart to woman. Keep thy foot out of brothels, thy hand out of plackets, thy pen from lenders' books, and defy the foul fiend.
Still through the hawthorn blows the cold wind.
Se suum man none.
Dolphin! My boy, boy! Cesar! Let him draw by.
Thou art better in a grave than to answer with thy uncovered body this extremity of the skies. Is man no more than this? Consider him well. Thou owest the worm no silk, the beast no hide, the sheep no wool, the cat no perfume. Here's Threon's are sophisticated. Thou art the thing itself. Unaccommodated man is no more, but such a poor, bare, forked animal as thou art. Fuel endings, come, unfatten here!
Oh, prithee, Nuncle, be contented. 'Tis a naughty night to swim in. Now, a little fire in a wild field were like an old lecher's heart. A small spark, or the rest on's body cold. Look! Here comes a walking fire.
This is the foul flibbertigibbet. He begins at curfew and walks till the first cock. He gives the web and the pin, squints the eye, and makes the hare lip, mildews the white wheat, and hurts the poor creature on earth. swithled footed thrice the old. He met the nightmare and her ninefold. But in a light and a troth plight and a roint day, witch, a roint day!
How fair is your grace?
What's he?
Who's there? What is you seek?
What are you there? Your name?
Poor Tom. The reach the swimming frog, the toad, the tadpole, the walnut and the water. That in the fury of his heart, when the foul fiend rages, eats cow dung for salads, swallows the old rat and the ditch dog, drinks the green mantle of the standing pool, who is whipped from tithing to tithing and stock punished and imprisoned, who hath had 3 suits to his back, 6 shirts to his body, horse to ride and weapon to wear, but mice and rats and such small deer have been Tom's food for 7 long year. Beware my follower. Peace, smoke, and peace, thou fiend.
What, hath your grace no better company?
Oh, the Prince of Darkness is a gentleman. Modo he's called, and Mau.
Our flesh and blood, my lord, is grown so vile that it doth hate what gets it.
Poor Tom's a colt.
Go in with me. My duty cannot suffer to obey in all your daughter's hard commands, though their injunction be to bar my doors and let this tyrannous night take hold upon you, yet have I ventured to come seek you out and bring you where both fire and food is ready.
First let me talk with this philosopher. What is the cause of thunder?
Could my lord take his offer, go into the house?
Halt. Talk a word with this same learned Theban. What is your study?
How to prevent the fiend and to kill vermin.
Let me ask you one word in private.
Pushing him once more to go, my lord, his wits begin to unsettle.
Canst thou blame him? His daughters seek his death. Ah, that good Kent, he said it would be thus, poor banished man. Thou sayest the king grows mad. I'll tell thee, friend, I am almost mad myself. I had a son. Now, outlawed from my blood, he sought my life. But lately, very late, I loved him, friend. No father, his son, dearer. True to tell thee, the grief hath crazed my wits. What a night's this. I do beseech your grace.
Oh, cry you mercy, sir. Noble philosopher, your company.
Tom's a cold.
In, fellow, there, into the hovel. Keep thee warm.
Come, let's in all.
This way, my lord.
With him. I will keep still with my philosopher.
Good, my lord, soothe him. Let him take the fellow.
Take him you on. Zerah, come up. Go along with us.
Come, good Athenian.
No words, no words. Hush.
Child Roland to the dark tower came. His word was still fie, foe, and fum. I smell the blood of a British man.
I will have my revenge ere I depart his house.
How, my lord, I may be censured that nature thus gives way to loyalty, something fears me to think of.
I now perceive it was not altogether your brother's evil disposition made him seek his death, but a provoking merit set a work by a reprovable badness in himself.
How malicious is my fortune that I must repent to be just. This is the letter which he spoke of, which approves him an intelligent party to the advantages of France. Oh, heavens, that this treason were not, or not I that attacked her.
Go with me to the Duchess.
If the matter of this paper be certain, you have mighty business in hand.
True or false, it hath made thee Earl of Gloucester. Seek out where thy father is, that he may be ready for our apprehension.
If I find him comforting the king, it will stuff his suspicion more fully. I will persever in my course of loyalty, though the conflict be sore between that and my blood.
I will lay trust upon thee, and thou shalt find a dearer father in my love.
Here is better than the open air. Take it thankfully. I will piece out the comfort with what addition I can. I will not be long from you.
All the power of his wits have given way to his impatience. God's reward your kindness.
Frateretto calls me and tells me Nero is an angler in the lake of darkness. Pray innocent and beware the foul fiends.
Pity, Nuncle. Tell me whether a madman be a gentleman or a yeoman.
A king?
No, he's a yeoman that hath a gentleman to his son, for he's a mad yeoman that sees his son a gentleman before him.
To have 1,000 with red-burning spits come hissing in upon him.
The foul fiend bites my back.
He's mad that trusts in the tameness of a wolf, a horse's health, the boy's love, or a whore's oath.
It shall be done. I will arraign them straight. Come sit thou here, most learned justice. Thou, sapient sir, I sit here. You she-foxes.
Look where she stands and glares. Wants thou eyes at trial, madam? Come o'er the born Bessie to me.
Our boat hath a leak, and she must not speak, for she dares not come over to thee.
The foul fiend haunts poor Tom in the voice of a nightingale. Hope it dance cries in Tom's belly, for two white herring croak not. Black angel, I have no food for thee.
How do you, sir? Stand you not so amazed? Will you lie down and rest upon the cushion?
I'll see their trial first. Bring in their evidence. Thou, robed man of justice, take thy place. And thou, his yoke fellow of equity, hence by his side. You are on a commission, sit you too.
Let us deal justly. Sleepest or wakest thou, jolly shepherd, thy sheep be in the corn, and for one blast of thy minikin mouth, thy sheep shall take no harm. Brrr, the cat is grey.
Arraign her first. Tis Goneril, I here take my oath before this honourable assembly, kicked the poor king her father.
Come hither, mistress. Is your name Goneril?
She cannot deny it.
Cry you mercy. I took you for a joint stool.
And here's another, whose warped looks proclaim what stour her heart is made on. Stop her there! Arms! Sword, fire, corruption in the place! False justice, sir! Why hast thou let her escape?
Bless thy five wits.
Oh, pity. Sir, where is the patience now that you so oft have boasted to retain?
My tears begin to take his part so much they mar my counterfeiting.
The little dogs and all, Tray Blanche and Sweetheart, see they bark at me.
Tom will throw his head at them. Avaunt, you curs! Be thy mouth or black or white, tooth that poisons if it bite. Mastiff, greyhound, mongrel grim, hound or spaniel, brack or limb, or bobtail tyke or trundle tail, Tom will make him weep and wail. For with throwing thus my head, dogs leap the hatch and all are fled. Do, day, sissa!
Come, march to wakes and fairs and market towns. Poor Tom, thy horn is drawn.
Then let them anatomize Regan. See what breeds about her heart. Is there any cause in nature that makes these hard hearts? You, sir, I entertain for 100. Only I do not like the fashion of your garments. You will say they are Persian, but let them be changed.
Oh, good my lord. Lie here and rest a while.
Make no noise. Draw the curtains. So. We'll go to supper in the morning.
And I'll go to bed at noon. Come hither, friend.
Where is the king, my master?
Yes, sir, but trouble him not. His wits are gone.
Good friend, I prithee, take him in thy arms. I have o'erheard a plot of death upon him. There is a litter ready. Lay him in and drive toward Dover, friend, where thou shalt meet both welcome and protection. Take up thy master. If thou shouldst dally 30 minutes, his life, with thine and all that offer to defend him, stand in assured loss. Take up and follow me, that will to some provision give thee quick conduct.
Oppressed nature sleeps. This rest might either balm the broken sinews, which, if convenience will not allow, stand in hard cure.
Come, help to bear thy master. Thou must not stay behind.
Come away.
When we our betters see bearing our woes, we scarcely think our miseries our foes. Who alone suffers most in a mind, leaving free things and happy shows behind. But then the mind much sufferance doth o'erskip when grief hath mates and bearing fellowship. How light and portable my pain seems now, when that which makes me bend makes the king bow. He childed as I fathered. Tom away. Mark the high noises and thyself bewray when false opinion whose wrong thoughts defile thee in thy just proof repeals and reconciles thee. What will hap more tonight to save scape the king? Lurk. Lurk.
Post speedily to my lord, your husband. Show him this letter. The army of France is landed. Seek out the traitor, Gloucester.
Hang him instantly. Pluck out his eyes.
Leave him to my displeasure. Edmund, keep you our sister company. The revenges we are bound to take upon your traitorous father are not fit for your beholding. Advise the Duke where you're going, to a most festinate preparation. We are bound to the like. Our post shall be swift and intelligent betwixt us. Farewell, dear sister. Farewell, my lord of Gloucester. How now? Where's the king?
My lord of Gloucester hath conveyed him hence. Some 5 or 36 of his knights, hot questrists after him, met him at gate, who, with some other of the lord's dependents, are gone with him toward Dover, where they boast to have well-armed friends.
Get horses for your mistress.
Farewell, sweet lord and sister.
Edmund, farewell. Go, seek the traitor Gloucester. Pinion him like a thief. Bring him before us. Though well we may not pass upon his life without the form of justice, yet our power shall do a curse to our wrath, which men may blame, but not control. Who's there? The traitor?
Ingrateful fox, 'tis he.
Bind fast his corky arms.
What means, your graces? Good, my friends, consider. You are my guests. Do we no foul play, friend?
Bind him, I say.
Hard! Hard! Oh, filthy traitor.
Unmerciful lady as you are, I'm none.
To this chair bind him. Villain, thou shalt find.
By the kind gods, is most ignobly done to pluck me by the beard.
So white and such a traitor.
Naughty lady, these hairs which thou dost ravish from my chin will quicken and accuse thee. I am your host. With robber's hands my hospitable favours you should not ruffle thus. What will you do?
Come, sir. What letters had you late from France?
Be simple answered, for we know the truth.
And what confederacy have you with the traitors late-footed in the kingdom?
To whose hands you have sent the lunatic king? Speak.
I have a letter, guessingly set down, which came from one that's of a neutral heart, and not from one opposed.
Cunning.
And false.
Where hast thou sent the king?
To Dover.
Wherefore to Dover? Was thou not charged at peril?
Wherefore to Dover? Let him answer that.
I am tied to the stake, and I must stand the course.
Wherefore to Dover?
Because I would not see thy cruel nails pluck out his poor old eyes, nor thy fierce sister in his anointed flesh stick boorish fangs. The sea, with such a storm as his bare head in hell black night endured, would have buoyed up and quenched the stellid fires. Yet, poor old heart, he holp the heavens to rain. If wolves had at thy gate howled that stern time, thou shouldst have said, good porter, turn the key, all cruels else subscribe. But I shall see the winged vengeance overtake such children.
See it shalt thou never. Fellows, hold the chair. Upon these eyes of thine, I'll set my foot.
He that will think to live till he be old, give me some help. Oh, cruel.
Oh, you God. One side will mock another. T'other two.
If you see vengeance...
Hold your hand, my lord!
I have served you ever since I was a child. But better service have I never done you than now to bid you hold.
How now, you dog?
If you did wear a beard upon your chin, I'd shake it on this quarrel. What do you mean?
My villain.
Nay then, come on and take the chance of anger.
Give me thy sword. A peasant stand up thus.
I am slain. My lord, you have one eye left to see some mischief on him.
Oh. Lust it, Seymour. Prevent it. Out, vile jelly! Where is thy luster now?
Oh, dark and comfortless. Where's my son Edmund? Edmund! Enkindle all the sparks of nature to quit this horrid act.
Out, treacherous villain. Thou callst on him that hates thee. It was he that made the overture of thy treasons to us, who is too good to pity thee.
Oh, my follies! Then Edgar was abused. Kind gods, forgive me that. And prosper him.
Go, thrust him out at gates, and let him smell his way to Dover.
How is my lord? How look you?
I have received a hurt. Follow me, lady. Turn out that eyeless villain! Throw this slave upon the dunghill. Oh, Regan, bleed apace. Untimely comes this hurt. Give me your arm.
I'll never care what wickedness I do if this man come to good.
If she live long, and in the end meet the old course of death, women will all turn monsters.
Let's follow the old earl, and get the bedlam to lead him where he would. His roguish madness allows itself to anything.
Go thou. I'll fetch some flax and whites of eggs to apply to his bleeding face. Now, heaven help him.
Yet better thus, and known to be contemned, than still contemned and flattered, to be worst, the lowest and most dejected thing of fortune, stand still in esperance, lives not in fear. The lamentable change is from the best. The worst returns to laughter. Welcome, then. Thou unsubstantial air that I embrace, the wretch that thou hast blown unto the worst owes nothing to thy blasts. But who comes here?
My father, poorly led. World, world, oh world, but that thy strange mutations make us hate thee. Life would not yield to age.
Oh, my good lord, I have been your tenant and your father's tenant these 80 years.
Away, get thee away. Good friend, be gone. Thy comforts can do me no good at all. Thee they may hurt.
You cannot see your way.
I have no way, and therefore want no eyes. I stumbled when I saw. Full oft 'tis seen our means secure us, and our mere defects prove our commodities. Oh, dear son Edgar, the food of thy abused father's wrath, might I but live to see thee in my touch, I'd say I had eyes again.
How now? Who's there?
Oh, God, who wist can say I am at the worst? I am worse than e'er I was.
'Tis poor mad Tom.
And worse I may be, yet the worst is not, so long as we can say this is the worst.
Fellow, where goest?
Is it a beggar man?
Madman and beggar too.
He has some reason, else he could not beg. In the last night's storm, I such